This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
We are and what we are talking about. Our scripture coming from the book of Luke chapter 5, and we read verses number 17 through 26. And I'm reading again for our hearings from the same English Standard Version. And the word teaches us a lot of things in this passage, so much that I may not even cover it all, but I'm going to see how much the Holy Spirit will reveal unto us on today. It tells us, it says, on one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can heal, who can forgive sins but God alone?" And Jesus perceived their thoughts. He answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been laying on and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." Amen. 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 Let us pray, if you will. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this gathering. We thank you for bringing us together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you, God, for what you're going to do on today. We know, God, that your word declares that when it goes forth, it will not return unto you void. So we believe in, God, what you're going to do through your word on today. Touch someone, heal someone, deliver someone, save someone today who does not know you as their Savior. We relinquish all power and authority and give it all unto you. Move by your power. Have your way, O God. And it is in the name of Jesus the Christ we do pray. And somebody shout, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you today. I want to focus on these five men. So I want to talk to you today about the importance of a great support system.
All right.
The importance of a great support system. Because we all have to have some support. We're not meant to walk through this world alone. We're not meant to do everything by ourselves. We're not meant to be placed on an island, isolated from everybody else. But if you know anything about the kingdom of God, we know that the kingdom of God is designed where there will be unity of all. There will be a coming together of everyone. As a matter of fact, even from the beginning, when God created us, he spoke to Adam. When he created Adam, he spoke to Adam and said, "It's not good for man to be alone." And he was talking about Eve at the moment, but how many know that all throughout scripture, God lays a foundation to where all of us, his children, come together and be one. He even said that there's one body, and there's one Lord, and there's one baptism, and there's one God overall, and there's only one. So we were all meant to come together and be together in unity. So we're not supposed to be alone. And even in this day and time that we're in right now, matter of fact, especially in this time that we're in right now, we all need each other.
Amen.
We all need some help to get through these tumultuous times that we live in. So we need to know that we got to have a support system. We can't be by ourselves. No individual can function on their own.
Amen.
No business can survive by itself. No organization can survive by itself. No church can survive with just one person. That's why you got to have everybody doing their part Even the home has to have somebody there. I believe, can I just be real today, Reverend Tillman? I believe that Luther Vandross says that a house is not a home. There's no one there to hold you tight. No one there whom you can kiss good night. You got to have somebody with you. You can't do it by yourself. We all need some help in order to be what God called us to be, in order to be great and operate in greatness and reach success that God has called us to walk in. So that means we have to help one another. I believe I need some witnesses in the house who tell somebody next to you, I got your back. Tell them, I got your back. I'm going to help you out. So I may not know you and you may not know me, but we know Jesus. And as long as we know Jesus, we can get through this thing together. We're all in it together. So we need to understand that everything works better when we all work together. Amen. And in our scripture, we see this group of five men. We see five men in the scripture, one of whom is paralyzed. One of whom, if you will, is helpless. One who can't do anything for himself, who can't get around for himself. We see one man who is helpless and paralyzed, but then we see he has the support of four others beside him. He has four people helping him, even though he can't do anything by himself. How many know it's good to have one person on your side, but when you got four people on your side, I can't help but think about, when I think about four, I can't help but think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When King Nebuchadnezzar looked in the fiery furnace, he said, I thought there were three in there, but now that I look again, I see four people in the fire. There's something about four. When you got four in there, you know you got what you need to get through. He said he had four people helping him because he could not help himself. So we see that this four decide that they're going to get the one to where he needs and desires to be. Four men says we're going to help one man get to where he needs to be. Four of them decide. Four of them. It's good to have one, but he had four. And I can only imagine he was laying on a cart and had one at his one foot and another at the other foot and two up by his head, and they picked him up and they carried him, but he had four people helping him get where he needed to be. So how did this story pan out? How did it transpire? So I'm going to tell you three things that helped them get to where they needed to be, to help them get what Jesus had for them. First thing we need to understand, first thing is they had a plan.
All right.
You got to know that if you're going to do anything in life, you got to have a plan. You can't just meander through life. You can't just wander through life aimlessly. You can't just live by happenstance. You can't just live by chance and expect things to work out like they're supposed to. In order for things to work out like they need to work out, in order for things to fall through like Jesus needs them to, you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan. You got to think it through. You got to be able to think it through. So what was the plan that they had? Their plan was to get this man to Jesus.
Amen.
They had a plan to get this paralyzed man to Jesus. Can anybody testify this morning that you need some people in your life who got a plan that involves Jesus? Oh, you got to have some people in your life that has a plan that involves Jesus. It's good that you got a business partner. It's good that you got a friend. It's good that you got a spouse. It's good that you got church members that you associate with. But if you don't have somebody in your life that can help you get to Jesus, you ain't going to make it very far.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
They had a plan to get this man to Jesus. They knew that he couldn't walk. They knew that he couldn't make it by himself, so they decided they were going to help him. Now, if you look at the scripture, and I didn't look at it very deeply, but I just look at it for what I read right there in the text, but it does not say that these men knew each other.
Come on, preacher.
Oh, y'all gonna get it in a minute. Y'all gonna get it in a minute. It does not say that they knew each other. It doesn't say that the four knew this paralyzed man. All it says is that the man was paralyzed and four men decide to go and help him get where he needed to be. Can y'all testify that sometimes people who don't know you will be better to you than those who you're close to?
Come on, preacher.
Sometimes you can get more help from strangers than you can get from people in your own house. Sometimes people who are just complete strangers, don't know anything about you, will be more apt to help you than those who you have lived with and known your entire life.
Right now.
But they had a plan to get him to Jesus.
Yes.
He couldn't walk. So they said, we're going to carry you.
Yeah.
Whew, you know you got somebody helping you when they will carry you.
Jesus.
Where you need to be. When they will pick you up with their own strength, with shedding their own sweat to pick you up and take you where you need to be.
My Lord.
They picked him up and they carried him on their way to Jesus. So as they picked him up and carried him on their way to Jesus, their plan was, we got to get to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
If anybody came in the house today, you didn't come because today's Sunday. You didn't come because this is a historic, beautiful landmark. You didn't come because your friend was coming, but you came today because somebody made up in your mind when you woke up this morning, I got to get to Jesus.
Hey.
Is there anybody in the house who is in need of something? Anybody in the house who knows that if I don't get to Jesus, I might perish? If I can't get a touch from the Lord, it may not work out the way I need it to. If I don't hear a word from on high, my situation might fall apart and I might not make it. But I got this morning, I got to get to Jesus. I can't let anything stop me. I know the traffic is heavy. I know the sun is hot. But this morning, my brothers and my sisters, I made up my mind, I got to get to Jesus. So tell somebody sitting next to you, pardon me if I act a little funny this morning. Pardon me if I get beside myself. But when I see the Lord show up, when I see the Lord move, something might jump in my spirit. So if I get a little antsy in my seat, just know it because I know that the Lord is in the house. Tell somebody I got to get to Jesus.
Yes, sir. Jesus.
So their plan was to get to Jesus. On their way, following their plan. The second thing they displayed was they had persistence.
Come on now.
They had persistence. What you got to know is sometimes your plan doesn't work out the way you think it will. Every now and then your plan A will fall apart. And you got to always have a plan B. When you try one way and it don't work out, you got to go back and try again. When you start one thing and it don't come through for you, then you got to try something else. But what you got to do is you got to operate in persistence.
Yes.
These four men carrying this paralyzed man, they make their way to the house where Jesus was.
Yes.
And when they make their way to the house where Jesus was, the scripture said that there were already a whole lot of folk in the house. The scripture said that there were so many folks in the house that they couldn't get in at the door. You got to understand something, brother. You ain't the only one that needs Jesus. There's some other folks that need Jesus just like you do. So when you're trying to get to Jesus, you got to understand, you got to expect there to be some traffic. When you're trying to get to Jesus, you got to expect that there's going to be a crowd. When you're trying to get to Jesus, you got to also expect that there's going to be some folks in there who are just like you. You got to expect that there's going to be some folks in there who are hungry to get to the Lord. So when they were making their way, they got to the door, and the scripture said that the room was so full that they couldn't get in. Woo, ain't there something when you trying to get to Jesus and you get stopped short of where you trying to be? They're making their way to Jesus, but they got stopped.
Come on, preacher.
At the door. You gotta know that something went all through them. I'm trying to get, I know he's in there.
Yes, sir.
I hear him speaking.
Yeah.
I feel his presence. I know he's in the vicinity. I know he's in the room. I know he's in the crowd. If I could only get to him. Woo. You got to understand that I can imagine what these four men were going through. I imagine that they went through the same thing that the woman who had the issue of blood. I imagine they went through what she went through. But this woman had the same persistence as these four men. They made up their mind, and no matter what it takes, nothing's going to stop me from getting to Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
So what did they do? when they got to the door and they couldn't get in, they didn't quit. They didn't give up. They didn't turn around. They didn't just drop the man on the ground and say, you know what, we tried. But they said, you know what?
Yeah.
Whenever one door gets blocked, we'll make a door.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to know when you really need to get to Jesus, you got to do what you got to do. And you got to go up on the rooftop. You got to do what you got to do. They made up their mind. They said, we can't get up in the door, but I got a plan. They said, I got a plan B, because plan A didn't work. What we're going to do is we're going to go up on the rooftop and we're going to tear the roof up. I ain't at home. I can't say. We're going to go up on the rooftop and we're going to get to Jesus one way or another.
Yes, sir.
So they got to the door. Couldn't get in. They said, we'll go up on the rooftop. They decided to go up on the rooftop and they took him up. See, sometimes when you're supporting somebody, sometimes when you're trying to do something, it ain't gonna work out like you want it to. So you gotta come up with another way. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm so glad I'm connected to the way maker. I'm so glad I'm connected to the one who will make a way out of no way. I'm so glad I'm connected to the one who can open doors when doors get shut. I'm so glad I'm connected to the one who will make a window if you close the door. I'm so glad I'm connected to the one when the doctor says no, Jesus can still say yeah. I'm glad I'm connected to the one that when the lawyer say 5 to 10, when the judge say 5 to 10, Jesus can still say probation for 2 months. I'm glad. I'm connected to the one who will make a way out of no way. So they took him up on the rooftop. So when they got to the rooftop, they had the plan. They showed persistence. But then when they got to the rooftop, they showed the perseverance.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because see, you got to understand that when you're trying to get the G, you can't quit. You can't get up. When you know that God has promised you something, when you know that your healing is at hand, when you know that your deliverance is at hand, you can't quit. You can't give up. I don't care how many times it looks bad. I don't care how many people tell you it ain't gonna work. I don't care how many people tell you that you might as well give up. You gotta keep on pushing. You gotta learn how to get some push in your spirit. You gotta learn how to get some push in your spirit. They told me that push stands for pray until something happens. You gotta keep on praying, and you gotta keep on pushing, and you gotta keep on pressing, and you got to keep on trying, and you got to keep on going, and you got to keep on walking, and you got to keep on talking, and you got to keep on crying, and you got to keep on reading, and you got to keep on studying, and you got to keep on going. But don't you let anything stop you from getting what God has for you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
So they get up on the roof. They resolved to take the paralyzed man to the top of the house. Took him to the top of the house. Tore the roof off.
Yes, sir.
Woo, you got to know how to... My God, I wish I was at home. I'm not at home. I can't act like I want to act because I'm not at home. But when you get to where you need to be, you got to know that you got to be destructive when you're trying to get what you need. Sometimes you got to tear up some stuff. Sometimes you got to destroy some things. Sometimes you got to rip up some things. Sometimes you got to make a mess in order to get your best. You got to know that in order to get what God has for you, sometimes you got to tear up some stuff. I need you to understand how much perseverance these men had. The way I know they had a whole lot of perseverance is because the scripture tells they're not even safe who the house belongs to.
All right now.
You feel me? You with me? It doesn't even say who the house belongs to. See, sometimes when you know that Jesus is with you, when you know that he is right there, even if it's somebody else's stuff, you got to tear it up so you can get to Jesus.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
They tore the roof off the house. We don't know whose house it belonged to. But they tore it off. Because they weren't going to let anything stop them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
From getting to Jesus. Took them up. Lowered them down. See, you got to know when you're going to Jesus, there's going to be some ups and downs.
Come on, preacher. Oh, yeah.
We always want the ups.
Yeah.
But we don't want the downs. But sometimes the downs are the best place to find Jesus. Sometimes when you're at your lowest, that's when you find Jesus. Sometimes when you're at your worst, that's when Jesus shows up at his best.
Yes, sir.
He went up. They lowered him down.
Thank you, God.
Dropped him into Jesus' presence. When they dropped him into Jesus' presence, he spoke to them. Now notice, now Jesus is in the room teaching. He's in the room teaching. But can I help y'all understand something? Even though Jesus is carrying out the master's plan, the father's plan, whenever you show up like you need to show up,
yes,
he'll step away from what he's doing to give you his full undivided attention.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir.
See, Jesus, watch this. And this is how I know. This is how you know that he stopped what he was doing, because the scripture says he was teaching. Now, surely when he was teaching, he heard the roof busting open. Surely when he was teaching, he saw the cart falling down. Surely when he was teaching, he saw the dust settling over on top of his head. Surely when he was teaching, he heard all the commotion. But watch this. He wasn't paying attention to all that, because all he saw when he looked up was faith. You got to understand, Jesus wasn't concerned about the roof having a hole in it. Jesus wasn't concerned about dust falling on his head. Jesus wasn't concerned about tiles breaking and crushing to the floor. All he was concerned about is that somebody up there has enough faith that they're trying to get to me. And as long as they got faith, if they come down to where I am, if they make it down to where I am, because they got faith, I'm going to honor their faith. And because it took them a long time, because it took them a lot of work, I honor their faith to give them what they need. So the scripture says that when they got down, when they came on down, and they got down to where he was, he said, I see your faith, and because of your faith, your sins are forgiven. He said, I forgive your sins because I see your faith. Can I tell somebody, don't let anybody steal your faith. Don't let anybody mess up your faith. If you got faith in Jesus, hold on to your faith. Until your faith works for you, keep on working your faith. He told him, he said, your faith has caused you to get what you need.
Thank you, Lord.
He said, when he saw their faith, he spoke to the paralyzed man. And when he spoke to the paralyzed man, he said, your sins are forgiven. I needed to understand something real quick about Jesus. Whenever Jesus moves in our lives, before he gives you your breakthrough, before he gives you your deliverance, the first thing he does is heal your sins.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
First thing he does is forgive your sins.
Thank you, God.
Matter of fact, in 2 Chronicles, that's what he said. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive your sins, and then I'll heal your land. He said, I forgive your sins, and then I'll heal your land. What Jesus says is, he said, I can't do anything as long as you got sin in your life. He said, I can't show up like I need to as long as you got sin in your life. He said, because me and sin can't exist in the same place. He said, but if I forgive your sins and move them out the way, he said, then you've opened yourself up to everything else I got for you. He said, let me forgive your sins, and then I'll heal your land. Oh, all you got to do, my brothers and sisters, is open up your mouth and confess some stuff. All you got to do is just have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. He'll hear your faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. All you got to do is have a talk with him and tell him, Lord, there's some stuff in my life that's been hindering my blessing. There's some stuff in my life that's been holding me back from my breakthrough. So, Lord, heal me. Forgive my sins and then heal my land. Because I need something from you. So he forgave him. He forgave him. I'm almost through, y'all. But I don't know about y'all. But God sure is doing something to me up here. So watch this. Watch this. I can't leave y'all right there. I know it's great. Because we love a happy ending. It's great that the man got into Jesus' presence. It's great that he got his sins forgiven. But don't miss it. Don't miss it. You got to pay close attention to the text. He had his sins forgiven, but he was still paralyzed. He had his sins forgiven, but he was still laying there on the mat.
Come on, preacher.
So what happens was, as soon as he had his sins forgiven, all of the haters spoke up.
Come on, preacher.
I know ain't nobody here got no haters. We don't have no haters, do we? We don't have no haters. We don't have no haters. But as soon as he forgave the man's sins, scripture says the scribes and the Pharisees, the dignified keepers of the law.
Come on, preacher.
The upper crust.
Yes, sir.
Of the society. The ones who knew the word.
Come on now.
But didn't live it. Y'all don't hear me. The one who taught the word, taught the law, but didn't realize they couldn't keep it. They taught the law. They knew the law, but they had no relationship with Jesus. I believe the scripture says you have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. They had a form of godliness. They walked with their heads up high. They walked with their chests out. They didn't just walk, but they strolled. They just carefully put one foot in front of the other. They were sitting there. Now, it amazes me that there are so much that they were sitting there and Jesus was teaching them. You would have thought it would be the other way around, that they would be teaching Jesus, because it seems that they are so together. But yet they were sitting in the room with Jesus and Jesus was teaching them until Jesus showed them power. And when he showed them power, they had to speak up, because he was doing something that they weren't familiar with. Oh, y'all miss it. Y'all miss it. A whole lot of folks will show up at church with you. A whole lot of folks will walk with you and roll with you. A whole lot of folks will talk with you. But as soon as you do something that they're not familiar with, then they're going to have a problem with you.
Preach.
Tell it.
But Jesus couldn't help himself. Because if you remember verse 17, it said that the Spirit of God was on him to heal somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, he said, I can imagine Jesus says, somebody's going to get it today. Somebody, I have a healing for somebody today. And when they saw the roof opening up, he said, this must be the one. Because all these ones that are sitting here listening to me, I can read their spirits, and they're not really here for what I have. They're just really here to say that they were in the presence of Jesus. Because you got to understand something about people. Everybody that follows Jesus is not a follower of Jesus. They were in the room, but they didn't want the power.
Yeah.
They just wanted to be in his presence.
Yeah.
Oh, I need some folks real quick, because this thing's about to get ugly. I need some folks to talk to somebody sitting next to you and tell somebody, I don't know about you, you may just want to be in the presence, but I didn't just come for the presence today, I came for the power. Tell somebody sitting next to you, I didn't just come for the presence today, but I came for the power. Tell them I might get moving. If I get up, don't look at me funny. If I take off running, don't think strange of me. If I start jumping and hollering and shouting, don't think strange of me, because I came for the power of God. I didn't just want to be in his presence. I'm not just happy with being in Jesus' vicinity, but I want to feel his power moving in my life.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
So they told him. So they told him, who is this man? Who is this man who commits blasphemies? Who is this man who will proclaim to forgive another's sins? Who is this man who would do such things that only God can do? Whew. Y'all, I'm trying to hold my peace, but I feel something. I feel something moving in my spirit. It says, who is this man who can do things that God himself should do? But Jesus, the scripture says that he perceived their thoughts. See, you got to be careful what you think. You got to be careful about your thoughts. But God, we serve a God who can read even your thoughts. We serve a God who knows your thoughts. While you're trying to get them together, he sees them floating into your head. You got to be careful about your thoughts. He knows your thoughts. He perceived their thoughts, and he asked them a question. He says, why do you question in your heart? He said, why are you questioning me? Why are you questioning what I'm doing?
Okay.
Can I help y'all real quick, y'all? Because I don't know the relationship y'all have with Jesus. But the relationship I have with Jesus is me and him are homies.
All right.
Me and Jesus are close. So we talk to each other in regular terms. I don't get all dignified and sophisticated when I talk to Jesus. I mean, why would I when he already knows my thoughts? Well, so when I talk to Jesus, I just talk to him on a regular basis. I just talk to him. And sometimes, you know, Jesus will get smart with me. There are times when I've asked Jesus things and questioned him about things, just like these Pharisees. And he said, who are you to question me? And every time he does that to me, I can't help but think about even Job got smart with. Jesus got smart with Job, and Job told him, I don't deserve to go through this. I don't know. Everything I've done to glorify you. I've done to please you. Why is it that I got to go through all this sickness and boils and losing everything I got? But Jesus sat Job down, and he had to put him in check. And he said, you know what? You better watch who you're talking to. He said, because you weren't here when I flung the moon and the stars. You weren't here when I hung the sun on the opposite side. You weren't here when I laid out, carved out the rivers and let the waters flow. You weren't here when I called all the trees to pop up out the ground and grow. You weren't here when I put the sands on the sea. You weren't here. He said, so you better watch who you're talking to. You don't have the right to be asking me anything. You better be glad that I'm letting you go through it and come out of it. He said, because I could let you go through it and stay in it. And so Jesus spoke to these Pharisees, said, who y'all think y'all talking to? He said, y'all asking me how I got the right to do this? Why are you questioning what I'm doing? And then he put them in check. He said, well, if you really want to see something, if me healing, forgiving his sins wasn't enough for you. He said, well, would it have been better for you if I had told him to get up and walk? He said, would it have been better if I just said, rise up and walk? He says, as a matter of fact, I think I'll tell him anyhow. He says, you know what? He said, I don't worry about your sins. I've already forgiven your sins. He said, now, my brother, I need you to rise up, and I need you to take your bed, and I need you to go home. Tell somebody, we finally got here. Tell somebody, I finally got to the point where I needed to be. Now I can take up my bed, and I can go home. I've gotten what I needed from Jesus. I've gotten what he promised me. Now I can take up my bed, and I can go to the house. And the Bible says that the man got up. He took up his bed. See, when Jesus moves in your life, don't you tarry. Don't you take a long time. Don't you be weary. But when Jesus said move, you got to know how to move. So Jesus told him to rise up, take your bed. And the Bible says the man got up, took his bed, and went on to the house. But he didn't just go to the house with a quiet spirit. But the scripture says he went home rejoicing and glorifying God. Is there anybody in the house that the Lord's been good to you? Anybody in the house that he's done anything for you? If he's done anything for you, I need somebody, just about three people, to give God some glory. Tell somebody next to you and tell them, God's been good to me. I can't keep quiet. I can't sit still. I can't hold my peace. Can I get somebody to be like Shirley Caesar? I need somebody to hold my mule. Hold my mule. Because I think I will shout right now. I got to shout in my spirit. I got to give him all the glory. I got to give him all the praise. And when the man left, glorifying God, everybody in the room looked around and said, did we not witness some extraordinary things on today? Tell somebody next to you, I've seen some greatness take place today. Tell them, when you look at me, you're looking at a miracle. When you look at me, you're seeing God's handiwork. When you look at me, you're seeing me walk when I couldn't walk before. When you look at me, you're seeing me see when I was blind before. But now that Jesus has molded my life, I've seen some extraordinary things in this house. And if you are a witness that God is good, let me give somebody, anybody, everybody, give God a praise. Somebody tell him thank you. Somebody tell him thank you. Somebody tell him thank you. If he's been good to you, somebody tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me. Lord, I thank you for bringing me a mighty long way. Lord, I thank you for opening doors. Lord, I thank you for healing my body. Lord, I thank you because you've been so good. Lord, I thank you when I couldn't see my way. Lord, I thank you that you opened up some doors. Lord, I thank you.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.